Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithseanaroorke.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Well, I am joined now by Gerry Daly, who's here to answer all of your gardening questions. Gerry, thank you very much indeed for coming in to us. Just a few kind of general tips, if you like. I mean, we're at the end of July. What should people be looking to do in their garden at the moment?
Not a great deal, really.
Just enjoy it.
Enjoy the weather. Don't get too excited about the lawn going brown, as it has gone brown in a lot of places. And the rain has fallen sort of intermittently in different parts of the country, quite a lot in some places, not much in others. So it's a bit varied. Don't mow the lawn too tight. Don't cut it down too hard, or it puts it under further pressure.
Would you be putting fertiliser or feed seed?
Not unless there's a good bit of rain, because it really is a little bit dry. And just keep weeds down, basically. Don't let them go to seed, because if they go to seed, it causes problems for future years. But apart from that, there's nothing terribly pressing, except maybe vegetables, and that's another day's work.
Eat them. And what about taking cuttings? Is it time for that? Is it?
Yeah, it's a great time for taking cuttings. And, people used to call them taking slips. And it's a great skill to have. It's kind of a skill, but it's very simple. It's very, very easy. And it's just more or less the same technique applies to lots and lots of different plants.
Talk us through it then.
Well, basically, you just take the tip end of a new shoot. So let's say a new shoot is maybe 8 inches long.
Okay, let's pick an individual plant. Talk us through, like, what it would look like in an individual.
Yeah, well,
pick one species.
Let's say take maybe a fuchsia.
Okay.
For example, it has little shoots on it now with maybe some flowers on it. Take a shoot that has no flowers on it.
Okay.
Take about 4 or 5 inches of the tip end of it.
Right. So don't bring it right back to
not
where
right
it leaves the branch.
Not right back to where it's hard. Back to where it's what they call semi-hard wood, where the wood is ripening, but not quite ripe, but not at the tip where it's still soft. So about 4 or 5 inches back, take the tip away. The tip is too soft, it nearly always withers. Then take the bottom half, the leaves off the bottom half of the cutting, and then cut underneath what they call a node, which is the sort of bump where a leaf comes out of the stem. You just cut that off about 2 or 3 millimetres below that, an eighth of an inch. Dip it in rooting powder. Insert it then into a mixture of half peat and half sand in a pot. Give it some water, just dampen it with water, just moisten it. And then put it in a white plastic bag and put it in a bright place. And that's basically it.
That's it. And it'll take root and you can plant that out in the garden then?
Not invariably, but, maybe if you're good at it, maybe 90% of the time. If you're not great at it, 50 or 60%, which isn't bad.
Not at all. And especially if there's one particular plant that you really like that you'd like to have in a few places around the garden, I suppose.
And at this time of the year, you have things that are a bit tender, such as geraniums, Paris daisy, those sort of things that are outdoors that are grown in the summertime outdoors. Fuchsias even as well, because some fuchsias are not completely hardy. Some are and some aren't. But anything that's a bit soft like that, that you might run a risk of frost killing it in the wintertime. Euryops would be another example. Take cuttings of it now. And have those maybe on a windowsill indoors. And
so if you have a backup if anything goes wrong.
Insurance policy, yeah.
Grant, now listen, we're as always inundated with people who've got questions for you. We might just go through a couple of them. Olive Bridget on Twitter has been in touch to say she was given 2 1-day lily bulbs and she wants to know when is the best time to plant them.
1 day lily bulb.
Have we flummoxed you, Gerry?
I don't know what a one-day lily bulb
is. That's the first time I've ever heard you not knowing what somebody is talking about. Well, maybe we'd say to Olive Bridget, if she wants to get in touch with any additional information about what a one-day lily bulb is. In the meantime, we'll go on to Anne Elliott. She says, as soon as my dahlias appeared out of the ground a few weeks ago, something started eating the leaves. She put netting over them, but now they are getting taller. I need to take the netting away. What was the likely culprit? And is there anything she can do to prevent further leaves being eaten?
Yeah, that was undoubtedly slugs and snails.
Slugs and snails, really. They
love dahlia. They go mad. And sometimes they actually eat them before they come up out of the ground.
Really? So is there an answer there? Eggshells around the root?
Yeah, whatever snail prevention or slug prevention measures that you is happy to adopt. Different people do different things. There's beer and there's copper wires and there's all sorts of things to keep slugs away from plants.
Do any of them really work? What would you do?
They all work to some extent, more or less. The best way to avoid slug and snail damage is not to grow plants that are affected by slugs and snails.
Really? Or if you do grow them, put them in pots?
Yeah, will come up the sides of pots, but then, people put Vaseline on the sides of pots and copper wire on the sides of pots and all sorts of things. So there's a choice of various treatments, if you like.
But slug-proof plants is the best. Yeah. That's the best answer, really. Okay, another person here, Jim in Wicklow. Every year when my tomato plants get to about 2 feet tall, the leaves at the top of the plant curl up and wither, and the plant's growth is then stunted. Can you tell me why this is happening? He hasn't been able to find any answers to date.
Yeah, that could be root rot, tomato root rot disease, which could be in the soil in the greenhouse and could be affecting the new plants each time and knocking them back. That's if he's growing in the open ground in the soil. The disease could well be there and carrying over from year to year.
And what can you do about it then? Can you treat the soil or do you have to get
you
up?
You can replace the soil, but very often the soil gets recontaminated and you can get a certain amount of carryover of the root rotting disease. Now, if it's a case that they're in pots or in grow bags, it may just be that he's not watering them correctly. He's sort of not doing it evenly.
Right,
he's
so
overwatering
too much at
the wrong time and too little then, you know, when it's too much or too little, depending on what the conditions are.
But the sounds of it, with root rot, if you have it, there's not much you can do to
No, in the old days, they used to steam sterilise the tomato house soils in the old days to control that disease. But the best thing then, if it is in the soil, would be to grow in pots or in grow bags.
Okay, now we also do have some callers in touch with us. Who have we got first there on the line? We've got Therese on the line and she's got a question about her blackcurrant bush. Therese, go ahead there. Jerry's with us now.
Good morning. Fruity questions. When do I take cuttings from blackcurrant plants? When can I move mature gooseberry and roseberry and blackcurrant bushes? And how can I propagate a lovely red crabapple tree I found in a hedge? There's a gorgeous colour, makes lovely jelly, and I'd love to grow it myself.
Okay, well, the soft fruit, the currants and so on, you can take blackcurrant cuttings in October, November. And blackcurrants come from cuttings very easily, just about 12 inches, 10 or 12 inches long, and just actually stuck in the soil. They'll root nearly 100% of the time. You can move, did you say a gooseberry bush?
Gooseberry bush, some rhubarb and blackcurrant bush as well.
Yeah, you could move all of those during November or December.
Okay.
And the crabapple then, if it's a very nice crabapple that you'd like to propagate, you might try grafting it by an apple tree in a garden centre, graft into the side of the apple tree. Grafting is a lot easier than people think. It's just, you just sort of lift the skin and slide the cut end, a slanting cut on the piece that you're inserting into the tree, slanting cut and tie it tight and seal it with some polythene. And it's amazing how easy it is. You could have a go at that.
Thank you. I'll send you a pot of our blackcurrant jam.
Okay.
All right, Therese from Sligo, thanks very much indeed. Now, we have our next caller, another Jerry, and it's in relation to ash in soil. What plants grow in ash? Jerry, go ahead there.
How are you, Jerry?
Yes, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Over the past couple of years there, I've built up a mound of ash there. It's about 3 metres by 2 foot in a sunny spot.
Yeah.
And I'm after putting about 8 or 10 bags of topsoil on top of that. So I was just wondering what would be best to grow, i.e. colour, etc., flowers, that type of thing.
Well, probably if... Is it close to the house? Is it an area that's decorative area?
Well, it is actually. It's a nice corner now where I wanted to create a bit of colour, and it's backing up onto a wall on one side and a garden shed on the other.
Okay, well, it sounds like it's a sort of a bank, and your best bet would be to plant a selection of shrubs on it. If there's 2 feet of topsoil on top of it, that's plenty depth for shrubs to grow in. The ash underneath, well, probably won't affect them in any case. It depends on whether it's wood ash or coal ash, but wood ash is actually positive. Coal ash is probably pretty neutral, but wood ash is actually positive. So I would suggest you go to the garden centre 2 or 3 times during the year, pick up 2 or 3 small shrubs each time, because then you have different seasons. If you go this weekend and buy 5 or 6 shrubs, they'll all be in flower, but they'll all be in flower this weekend forevermore. So maybe go now, like next weekend, maybe go again in the autumn, maybe go again the spring, and there you have a run of colour through the year. That's without naming anything specific, because it's best you go and pick out for yourself according to your own preference.
Very good.
All right.
That's 100%.
Great. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. So thanks very much.
Thank you. So what you're saying there, Jerry, is it a good idea to scatter ash around your garden if you are burning wood?
Well, yeah, wood ash has quite a lot. I mean, wood ash was the original source of potash. and it is quite, wood ash is quite high in potash, so it's useful for fruit trees and for flowers and for flowering shrubs.
But just wood, what about briquettes? Or?
Briquettes are basically very, very little in them. Peat has very, very little nutrient in it, and coal has very little as well.
So only the wood.
They're not hugely beneficial. They don't do any great harm, but they're not beneficial as wood ash is.
Right, but it's not going to kill your garden if you get rid of
it.
No.
It can be scattered and dug in, yeah.
Now, we have another caller on the line here, Anne from Glasnevin. Anne, you have a question about your Daphne tree.
Yes. Hello, Jerry.
Hi.
I have a Daphne tree. I have it about 3 years, and I've been moving it around the garden. It didn't thrive in the shade. It didn't thrive in the sun. And it's a lime-coloured Daphne leaf. Now, it's only about 3 feet or 3 feet tall, and I have it about 3 years. But last year, I put it in a pot with soil for azaleas and camellias, thinking maybe my soil was wrong with it. And I'm just wondering, what soil do I need for it? Now, it's in a pot, but I'd actually love to put it in the garden because I don't like, you know, the way everything seems to dry out in the pots. But I just seem to be struggling with this Daphne. And I believe they're a lovely plant when they get going.
They are lovely, but the thing about them is they don't like being disturbed.
It's just that when I had it in the shade, the leaves were dropping off it, and then when I had it in the sun, it was struggling then as well. As I say, I have it over the last 3 years trying to get this going, you know. But
they do like a reasonable bit of light, and a little bit of light shade in the hottest part of the day isn't any harm for them. But by moving it around, it didn't let it settle, and it take a while to settle. So now, when it's in the pot, you're quite right. It won't be that happy in a pot. It'll tend to dry out at the root after a year or two. So if I were you, I would move it back into a place where it's reasonably good light for most of the day, a little bit of shade maybe in the hottest part of the day. The soil is fine where you are because it'll tolerate any sort of soil. It's not acid or limey. Worried about that. So plant it and then resist the temptation to move it again.
Is it a shrub or a tree?
It depends. There are some sort of small ones which are shrubby, and then there are others that are like small trees.
Give it a bit of space.
Give it a little bit of space and no competition too close to it, if you can do that.
Listen, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much indeed. That's interesting, Jerry. Plants, they just need to be left alone sometimes. Just back off.
Yeah, some plants hate being moved. Other things, you can move them every year if you want, but some things just, you know, they hate to be disturbed, and sometimes they will take maybe 2 or 3 years to recover from a move.
Right, so Daphne tree is one of them.
Yes, one of them.
Going to leave it there for today. Loads more texts and questions in. But look, Jerry, thank you so much. And we'll see you again in another few weeks, no doubt.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.